A hearing before an administrative law judge this week in Lansing is shaping up as really the epicenter of a vigorous debate over fish farming in Michigan. Environmental and sports groups are in Lansing arguing against a permit that was issued by the Department of Environmental Quality. That permit allows the operation of a fish hatchery in Grayling, raising rainbow trout on a branch of the El Sauble River. Mark Luttenton is a professor of aquatic biology at Grand Valley State University. He'll be testifying at the hearing on behalf of the anglers groups. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, Cynthia. Thanks for the invitation.
And Josh Greenberg is with us. He's owner of the Gates El Sauble Lodge in Grayling. Josh, welcome.
Thanks, Cindy.
Mark, start by telling us a little more about this Harrietta Hills fish hatchery, especially giving us an understanding of where it's located on the El Sauble and how much fish it's being raised and what this permit would allow it to do.
So the hatchery is an old state hatchery that was developed about 100 years ago or so and was in production for quite a while. Ultimately, it was closed down and has been a sort of a tourist attraction, a tourist destination for the last several years, operated locally. And just recently then, the Harrietta Hills fish production facility was kind of gearing up to start producing fish for market, sellable fish for restaurants and grocery stores. It's located on the east branch of the El Sauble, just off of a road called North Down River Road. It's up on the northeast side of Grayling. The number of fish, the amount of fish that they're producing at this point is not totally clear. It sounds like they just hit about 20,000 pound level of production, enough fish to reach that level of production.
What would the permit allow them to do?
So the permit issued by the DEQ falls under the guidelines of water quality, primarily protecting water quality. And so it sets some guidelines for the hatchery in terms of their monitoring program. Once they get to certain levels of production, they have to start instituting some regular monitoring activities to keep track of nutrients, in particular phosphates, the one that is of greatest concern in operation. And then I believe at a certain point they do have to start to implement some levels of effort to reduce the amounts of certain contaminants going into the river.
Josh, give us a sense, where is the Gates El Sauble Lodge in relationship to where the Harrietta Hills hatchery is located?
We're about, it's river miles, but we're about 8 to 9 miles downstream.
And downstream, meaning your concerns center on?
Yeah, so the fish farm is on the east branch, which flows a very short way and flows into the mainstream. Downstream several miles, the mainstream picks up a lot of groundwater springs and becomes a very productive wild trout fishery. And we're kind of in the middle of the most popular stretch of river of the three branches.
The Holy Waters.
Yes.
I guess, in a sense, I almost see this as a boxing match. In one corner, we've got, among others, the owner of the fish hatchery and the DEQ. And on the other, in the other corner, we've got fishing and anglers groups, environmental and sporting groups with major concerns. Mark, can you kind of break down for us what the main concerns are that'll be presented over this hearing?
Yeah, sure. So the primary concern, as I mentioned a little earlier, is nutrients, the addition of nutrients to the El Sauble River. There was a huge effort back in the 70s to reduce the amount of nutrient, particularly phosphate, going into the river, which had caused extensive algal blooms, long stringy strands of algae that are pretty hard on the environment, the ecological conditions of the river. So with all of that effort over the years, the El Sauble has achieved, I think, a fairly healthy, clean condition with regard to nutrients. And so one of the big concerns among the anglers and the conservation groups is that the number of fish, the pounds of fish that they're proposing to produce at the hatchery, the river would start to creep back towards those conditions that everyone saw back in the 60s and 70s when phosphate was a relatively large issue in the river. other main concern is the potential risk of diseases, fish diseases, in the river being introduced either by fish being brought into the hatchery, just like with any confined animal production facility. Having that density of organisms in a single space increases the potential for diseases within the population, and so that's certainly one of the concerns. But through the operation of the hatchery, the addition of nutrients, the addition of sediments coming out of the hatchery, part of the leftovers from feeding fish and so on, the worry is that this is going to enhance the parasite populations in the river and ultimately start having a negative impact on the fishery, the wild fishery that Josh's business relies on.
I'm talking with Mark Luttenton, who's a professor of aquatic biology at Grand Valley State University, as well as Josh Greenberg, owner of the Gates Asaba Lodge in Grayling, as we look at the debate over fish farming, which really has settled on a hearing this week over a hatchery in Grayling. Josh, what do people in Grayling think of this hatchery?
I think as we've learned more, we've grown more concerned. I know that's the case for me. I think that might often be the case in these types of things. You know, we, local businesses in particular that I've spoken to, have become very concerned that this could have a significant impact on our premier wild trout fishery and the immense amount of dollars it generates in our local community.
I guess we're trying to understand, really, is there any middle ground? It seems that, you know, is this all or nothing? We can't have any fish farm of the type that Harrietta Hills is? Or is, you know, is it all or nothing? What do you think?
I don't think it is. Anglers of the Asabal is asking for a filtration system modeled after the Platte River State Hatchery. Basically, the Platte River State Hatchery was redesigned to significantly cut down on the phosphorus it was producing, which was causing problems in Platte Lake. And to do this, they installed a filtration system and were able to significantly cut down on the amount of phosphorus being produced. I think it's something like 35 pounds a year. Our experts in this contend that the Grayling Fish Farm, as it's currently designed and operating at capacity, would produce around 3,500 pounds of phosphorus a year. So to say there can't be a fish farm there would be to say that the science doesn't exist to do it cleanly. And Anglers of the Asabal contends that it can be done cleanly.
Mark, what does the science tell us? We hear groups like the Anglers of the Asabal worrying that fish farming threatens Michigan's $7 billion fishing industry. Does science support that concern?
Yeah, gosh, it's such an interesting point in history. I was kind of thinking about this a little bit last night, that, you know, we're on the verge of seeing introductions of Asian carp into the upper Great Lakes. At some point, those were escaped fish from fish farms down in the south, slowly working their way up through the Mississippi River into the Illinois, and then now close to Lake Michigan. I think folks have that history in mind, since it hasn't quite happened. We're still talking about it, and a lot of people are debating what the potential impacts are from that kind of an event. So the whole essence of aquaculture and hatcheries and fish production and confined facilities, I think, is pretty fresh in people's minds, and this looming issue with Asian carp arriving in the Great Lakes. Certainly the Harrietta Hatchery isn't of that magnitude of potential doom and gloom. But there is certainly, I think, legitimate concern about the potential risks of that operation on the Asabal. But at the same time, there's also some very well-established protocols and methodologies that would mediate any of those impacts, I think.
Ultimately, what is it that the administrative law judge will be deciding based on this 12-day hearing?
My understanding is that the administrative law judge has the authority to either ask the DEQ to reconsider the permit or uphold the permit as it is written and has been issued to Harrietta Hills.
Josh, what are you watching for overall in the trial and the overall picture?
Right now, I'm kind of on pins and needles. I'll be down to testify on behalf of our business at the end of this week, or it's sounding like maybe next week. And I'm watching for the judge to send this permit back. I'm kind of befuddled by it, to be honest. The Osabo is one of the most productive wild trout fisheries east of the Mississippi. It's not known for its ability to grow fish for consumption. It's known for its ability to grow wild trout for thousands of people to come enjoy, as well as be a clean, clear river for canoeists, sightseers, and nature lovers in general. So the big picture to me is a series of boxes, each posing a question: does this fish farm offer a benefit to the environment, to the local economy? And every time I come to one of those boxes, I have to say no. It's a strange permit at a strange time because it seems so unjustified. And certainly, you know, if it can be done cleanly and it can be demonstrated as such, I won't be on pins and needles anymore. But as it is now, and as I read some of the predictive models of what that phosphorus could mean to us as a business, I'm just nervous and scared. Yeah.
Josh Greenberg owns the Gates Osabo Lodge in Grayling, and we've also been talking with Mark Luttenton, who's a professor of aquatic biology at Grand Valley State University, both of whom will be testifying at the hearing in Lansing before an administrative law judge over fish farming in Michigan. Thanks so much to both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.